city became a new immigrant, new Olé. And
Jack's wife's name was Kitty also.
No.
No.
Oh, well, you're Kitty.
We're getting
you're
back
Kitty.
To my wife.
Okay.
And they and we bought an apartment there, and we bought a car there. We bought furniture there.
19.
She became a new immigrant. I did not, because I had to go home and make a living.
So she stayed there, and you went back and forth?
We went back and forth quite often there. Yes, uh-huh. My two daughters married Israeli.
Uh-huh.
And
this was 1964, right?
We took its boat trip in 1964, but the girls married not too long after that.
Okay. So how long did you live in Israel?
Off and on, we lived there for about... Well, I just sold my apartment last year in Israel. And I gave my car to one of my relatives there. My two daughters married Israelis. One was from Afghanistan and one was from Morocco.
Do they live in Israel now, your daughters?
No. My Ann Dorr moved to California, and Bethy was divorced from her Israeli policeman. Her husband was a policeman there, and she's now married and lives in Monroeville.
And how many grandchildren do you have?
Six.
Nice.
Six grandchildren. Two in California.
What's Bethy's last name now?
Bethy's last name is O-T-T, Beth Ott.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought Ott was a middle name.
No.
Okay.
And what about your other daughter? What's her last name? Was it Andorra?
Andorra Shaftay, S-H-A-B-T-A-Y. He's in the theater business. They went to Israel to make a moving picture, and he completed it there with the help of friends and relatives in Israel. And they also established a little theater arrangements, and he travels back and forth quite often. My other sister, Bertha, in the army, stationed in Germany during the war, and developed myasthenia gravis. Passed away about 10 years ago.
How many siblings did you have?
You said nine.
Okay, nine.
I know you were an engineer, so could you tell me something about where you went to school and what you did as an engineer?
Yes, I happened to be the first in the first class of the new Shelley High School in 1917, from Fifth Avenue High School to Shelley High School, and in the first graduation class of 1991, 4 years later. And I unwisely bought a motorcycle and was injured and confined in a hospital with infected. My leg got infected because I was struck by a motorist who hit me, and was one of these hit and run drivers, and fortunately I was not bleeding. But the leg became infected, and I was confined for so long.
There was no penicillin in those days.
Yeah. So I then went back to school in later years and became a surveyor. And I also operated this children's camp for many years during the 30s.
It was Camp Elwood.
Camp Elwood, yeah.
Where was
Elwood City.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. And you ran it every summer, or was it an all year round?
No, every summer. During the off seasons, I would have various schools, like the Ambridge High School, that would bring their football teams up there for training after our camp season.
How many years, what were the years of Camp Elwood?
I beg your pardon?
How many years did you run Camp Elwood, from like what year to what year?
Yeah, I would say from about 1936 to, I would say 4 years. And then I sold it to the Salvation Army because of Kitty's wishes. And
so it was 1936 to about 4 years you ran it?
About 4 years, at least 4 years. Uh-huh. Maybe more. We had 120 boys and a staff of about 50. And let's see, during the war years, when was the war, 1940-41?
41 to 45, I think was the war.
Then I ran it for about 7 years, please correct that, because I remember during the war years, mm-hmm. we were able to get ammunition, food stamps, and the government was interested in camping and rifling practices and such as that, and we were able to get gasoline tickets to travel back and forth, and
I remember that camp when I was a child. I remember
that's being, all. Yeah. You don't look like you could remember that far back to me.
Okay, I was told that you took a surveying course when you were age 74.
That's right. I went to school. I was older than the professor and all the students combined, I thought.
Where did you take this course?
University of Pittsburgh, got uh-huh. up early. Uh-huh. And my my professor came to my 90th birthday party.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. He must have been old by then.
Yeah.
Well, he said his professor was younger than him.
He retired, but it's interesting. He was a University of Pittsburgh professor. Mm-hmm. They don't have a course in surveying. It's part of the engineering course, but no special courses mm-hmm. like I took.
Uh-huh. What was his name, your professor?
Yes,
do you remember?
Very odd name, yes, I have it. Professor John Nutt, N-U-T-T.
That is an odd name. Uh-huh. Okay. Did we talk about how you met your wife and when you got married?
Yeah, I got married when I was 39 years old.
Right. How did you meet your wife?
He called me about real estate, about wanting to buy a house or something. And it started from there.
When you brought your children up, you mentioned you went to the synagogue, but were you conservative or orthodox or reformed? And
I think I was orthodox because I went to Talby Orthodox Shul, like B'nai Israel especially was mine, and I still go there occasionally. And even now, that's where I belong, is the Young People's Synagogue.
So we were talking a little bit about your professional career. You ran Camp Elwood, and you also own Linden Hall. Could you tell us about Linden Hall?
Yes, I purchased Linden Hall, which
tell us what it is.
It's a, I would say, one of the latest mansions that was built in the United States, because there were very few properties of that kind that had 40 rooms and 12 bathrooms and a living room which had an oriental rug 80 feet in length. The living room was 100 feet in length and had an organ, had an elevator, had the finest. It was called Linden Hall, named after the linden trees in Germany, and
where was it located? Where is it located?
Near Connellsville and Uniontown in Fayette County.
What did you do with it? I mean,
651 acres. I loved the country, and this presented itself for sale at about 5 cents on the dollar, because it was built for very costly. This woman that built it just became very rich in the coal business. She had a lot of coal lands, and I guess money was not a question to it, because I remember one incident about the building of this Linden Hall, where she didn't like one large outside wall that was two stories in height. She had it dismantled to build it like she wanted to. So it was a very costly, that had two bowling alleys in the basement. A pool table, and had Swiss bathroom, the Swiss baths there. Had a laundry that was about 100 feet in length with all the trimmings. And the garage building was situated nearly 100 feet from the main dwelling, which contained and housed the furnaces. We used to burn a ton of coal per day to heat the property.
So you actually lived there?
Yes, we lived there for about a year. And then I realized I couldn't afford it, because we had a gardener, we had caretaker, we had a houseman, we had two swimming pools.
Must have been exciting living there that year.
Well, I got a lot of a lot of friends came and often visited the place, but I got tired running up and down the steps. I could have taken the elevator. Big organ there, and I have a lot of pictures there. Show them to you too if they're at all interested, but it's open now, and it belongs to the steel unions. I sold it for about $100,000, and they paid $1,600,000 for it. Our arguments of why did we do this, why did
That's
we
right.
do that, it comes into the play. And I got into the real estate business by accident. When I was downtown once, I had to go to the bathroom, so I went into the Union Trust, Union National Bank building on 4th and Wood, and I observed a name on an office door that said C.L. Saxton Company. I walked in and I said, I'd like to get a job here, and I got a job in the real estate business. I've been involved in that quite a bit, and then I developed mountain land and mountain camps and became interested in the country for about since then, and built clubhouse and built 12 cottages. And
where did you build these cottages?
Ligonier area.
Oh, uh-huh. Is that while you lived in Ligonier?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Donegal. Between Donegal and actually Ligonier was a road called Solomon Temple Road.
Uh-huh.
That's where I lived. That's where we lived, rather. And I had a log cabin up there, and we remodeled it.
How many years were you there?
I was there for over 20 years.
Well, could you tell us something about what living in Pittsburgh was like in those years as contrasted to what it's like now? And also maybe something about the Jewish life in Pittsburgh, the contrast between then and now.
We were was in answer to that question, I personally seemed disappointed because I do remember Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that we could hardly have room to sit down in the big auditorium of B'nai Israel. They were so crowded many, many years ago around the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And here lately, the population or the attendance is so much smaller that the Jews are the ones that are loyal, and few of them in comparison, that even a small synagogue like B'nai Israel was not altogether B'nai Israel, had many seats that were empty, so the attendance is smaller, much smaller now than it has been years ago. Although the minions are
But a lot of the Jews moved out of that area and moved to Squirrel Island.
Yeah, that's you're right. Religion is not a thing. My daughters went to Hillel Academy, and Dora graduated, and Bethy went on to high school. But my older daughter finished Hillel Academy, and she went there till she finished high school. She's now a teacher in California.
How long ago did your wife die?
She died in 1987. died in about 75.
Was Hebrew Institute, it was a synagogue and a school when it was built, what was its function?
It was the hub of all the Jewish activities on the Hill District, the meeting place, the shul, and I think it was a little synagogue there too. I would remember that because that dates back to about 1913-14. And then the Irene Kaufman settlement was on Center Avenue.
So there were two things there?
Well, the settlement house was for the children to play and to go there. Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew Institute was right on the next street within walking distance.
Let me ask you a question. What do you think was the most significant accomplishment in all the things you did? That's a hard question.
Yeah, it is. I would say the boys' camp, because the reports afterwards were very exciting. I used to have a full enrollment till 1 year. I happened to take a boy that evidently had scarlet fever, and then when he came to camp, he had to go home, and there was one case, and it developed into about 30 cases from reports that you got that that camp had scarlet fever, you see. And then I lost a little bit. Next year I did lose heavily, but the Salvation Army was always interested in buying the camp, so we sold it to them. I remember one time we built a big dining hall. My partner was I.A. Simon, and Mr. Simon was an attorney from the Keefock, and Jonas Salk. Jonas Salk was a different picture. I built a cottage for Jonas Salk in the mountains. I built 12 cottages there. Mrs. Anathan was one of my tenants, and Dr. Koskoff, and I built all these cottages for them. And what I was, and they operated a children's camp for the children of the colony. In other words, if you rented a cottage for me, you had children, you would send them down to my camp, and we would conduct the camp for the children of the parents that were my tenants there, like.
So they were summer cottages, right?
They were.
Were they summer cottages?
Well, they were. They lived there all year round. I had fireplaces there. I had two bathrooms in each. I had four bedrooms. I had big cottages, and I sold one to Jimmy Balder, who just passed away. He was one of my tenants. And I built one for Jonas Salk, and I built one for...
Well, did you get to know Jonas Salk?
Yes, I knew him personally.
What was he like?
I thought he was a swell fellow, and he's very common. He just, he would do his work. I remember Koskoff I had trouble with. He would not have a phone in his cottage. he named his cottage No Phone Cottage. So somebody called me up at 2 o'clock in the morning. He said, your patient died and he willed his brain to you. So I had to go for about a mile from my house up to his cottage, which was up in the hills, and tell him that the police department and Butler called me and told me to get you up there right away to get the brain before it gets cold. I guess he thought he could, by certain treatment, correct a patient that had mental problems. That's with a criminal, a thief, I guess, but he paid no attention. And then I got another call 2 hours later, said, where's the doctor? It's very important he comes up now. I went up there again about 4 o'clock in the morning and told him I just got another call, but he paid no attention to that either. I don't know what developed, but I think he felt that by certain treatment he could correct the brain or something like that. I don't know. But that was my work with the country cottages and children's camp, and I worked like mad, and then I had a forest fire there, and I never remember as clear and vividly as you two are sitting here. A whole army of farmers with their hatchet and their gear and coming onto this field to put out the fire. Well, I guess a lot of these little bits of information don't make sense, but I hope they do a little bit. But I realize that the disturbing part of when I mention these things, that the Jews are taking Jewish kite very lightly anymore. Whether we have bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs for affairs, like I often say, your bar mitzvah is $500 for the mitzvah and $9,500 for the bar. It seemed that they take things too lightly. Maybe our rabbis aren't strict enough.
Well, is there anything else that we didn't? You can look that over.
Yes, if I see anything here.
Herman
Lipschitz is very knowledgeable about all the shuls there, the Talmud, Torah, Crawford, Rabbi Jaffe, way back in the 1800s, and the Beth Jacob Shul is there, and the Beit HaMidrash, as I mentioned, started in 1890. And Beth Shulam had this first building, and then they built a new one. Later, it's our largest synagogue here almost. The Malinger Bottling Works factory was near the DeVillier Street, not too far from the Center Avenue and Dinwiddie Street area. There were more shuls on the Hill District at the turn of the century and around that time than we have, I think, in Squirrel Hill now. So religion was very strong on the Hill District around the First World War.
Weren't they like small ones?
They weren't very large, and they were.
Because now we've got big ones.
No, there were nothing too large. They were always crowded and packed, if I remember right.
Probably special life too, because they all came from Europe.
Yes. We lived pretty close together then, and it was a little hub. Then they moved to the Shenley Heights, and that's where the Fifth Avenue High School closed. And the new Shenley High School took its place. People moved.